The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's September the 12th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets and this morning's USDA reports with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. In short, those numbers look like this. An 11.1 billion bushel corn crop on an average yield of 154.7 bushels to the acre, with a 1.2 billion bushel carryout, a 3.093 billion bushel bean crop on a 41.8 bushel to the acre yield, and a 530 million bushel carryout. A bit later in today's program, we'll get Daryl Good's assessment of this morning's report. And then, just after the bottom of the hour, as we do each and every day on the Closing Market Report, we'll talk with an agricultural meteorologist. Don Day is away today. So Mike Tenora of T-Storm will join us for a complete look at the ag weather forecast across the globe. Stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincolnland Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
In Chicago on this report day, a Tuesday, September the 12th, futures finished like this. In the wheat pit, September contract at 388 and three quarters, down 9 1/4 today. December futures at 402 and a half were off 10 and a half cents. September corn 223 and a half, down 5 1/4. December futures at 237 and three quarters, off 5 3/4. And the March contract at 252 and a half, down 4 3/4. December futures 284 and a half, off 3 1/2 cents. September corn futures, or rather September soybean futures, at 527 and a quarter, down 4 3/4. November's were off 6 at 538 and a half. The January contract at $5.52, down 5 3/4. And next year's November bean contract at $5.99 and a quarter, down 6 1/4. Bean meal September contract at $156.10, down 170. September bean oil at $24.21. That was down 14 for the day. Feeder cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange, September's at 118.87 and a half. They were 22 and a half cents higher. The October live cattle futures at 92.10 were up 25 cents. And December futures were up half that amount at 12 and a half higher, 91.87 and a half, the last trade for the December live cattle. Lean hog futures, $67.50. They were up 50 cents, a half buck higher for the day. Crude oil futures, $63.80, off $1.81 at this hour. The CRB index at 310.79, down 2.94, and the Dow at 11,504 is now up 107 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a complete look at this morning's reports, as well as the trade that ensued throughout the day in Chicago and around the globe, is our own Mr. Markets over Newmarket, Indiana. How are you? Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodity Markets.
We're doing great here today, Todd.
Tell me about these numbers that we got this morning. What surprised you, and what did the trade do with them?
Well, of course, the bean number was exactly on the number that the average estimate was, so wasn't much of a surprise there. I think more of the surprise came into looking at how they reduced the carry-in or the beginning stocks, also increasing the crush 15 million, the exports 35 million, residuals 5 million, and actually coming up with the carryout not being quite as big as it was in the August report, even with the crop being increased the way it was, and even more so how the trade started the day and then pushed higher to start with for a little while this morning with the bigger production figure, Todd. And I think that was about the most surprising. Then, of course, we faded about like what we expected it to a little later in the day when the corn and the wheat couldn't have much going on.
In fact, tell me about the wheat pit. It looks like it led things down.
It was very heavy over there. I think, we've been anticipating the numbers out of Stats Canada and the canola stocks being a lot higher than what we were expecting, added some stuff there. And also along with some of the other the Argentine and Australian crop not being dropped as much as they thought it possibly could be. So all in all, the wheat market was called mixed before the opening and continued to sort of take pressure from liquidation from some of the large funds.
Back into the corn and the soybean pits we go. If you take a look at the November contract, posted an outside down date, put in a new contract low as well for the Novembers. That's probably not a good sign for the beans in the near future, I wouldn't think.
Technically, that's not looking good. We're hearing that some of the larger grain trusts are talking, you know, very close, a lot closer to $5 here on the dip through the harvest pressure, especially with as much grain, you know, the higher corn number to try to put away this fall, and the higher bean number. More bushels got to fit in the same amount of space we had before the last report, too. And, you know, with all the carryout that we have, why, that's going to be a little rougher to do, Todd.
In fact, just comparing those, USDA was looking, and we'll take the corn up now, 10.97 was what their August estimate was, and they're up in an 11.114 billion bushel crop this time around, and there will be more corn to put away. And that's going to put some pressure on basis, I would think, despite the fact that we're looking at very good usage in the coming year.
Well, you know, we've got very good usage, but a lot of that doesn't start till a lot of these ethanol plants come online. And a lot of that won't be happening till, you know, the latter part of the next year. And we're going to have a great demand later in the year, but we've got to hang on to it until that point in time before that starts. So we still got to put it away somewhere. It has to be stored efficiently between now and June and July, really.
Most everybody's saying store both crops if you potentially can. I assume you agree with that.
But, you know, pretty much I think that that's a thought, because along the way we are our demand is going to be increasing as every ethanol plant comes online, number one. Number two, our the world stocks did decrease, or their carryout looks to decrease by what the government said. And the exports look to be good. We added 100 million to exports. And then also all we can hear about is trying to buy acres for the 07 crop to match up with this new ethanol demand that will be coming online over the next 14 to 16 months.
That brings me to my next question is they try to buy acres in Chicago by pushing the price of corn higher, potentially, though we don't know that will happen. And we need to think about what to do with LDP. Do you take LDP early and rather than later for corn, and the opposite direction for soybeans?
Well, I think that as we look at the corn, we have some real feelings that we're going to back off, but not to terrible degrees. And most of it's going to be done on the basis here somewhat through the glut of harvest when we are trying to find those places and they aren't really out there as far as places to stick this corn away, and that's when the basis is going to get wide to try to you know, ship some stuff out. So we're going to probably say take the LDPs somewhat early here. We've got to get in the field first, though, before we can take those, and we're going to have to see where things are at as we get along. But also, one thing we've got to look at, Todd, is I believe as we listen to the WIL weathermen, we aren't looking at a wide-open fall for harvest. We're looking at a front coming through, you know, once a week that's going to delay this harvest a little bit, and it's not going to be quite the glut if we delay it and spread it out.
All right. We appreciate you being with us today, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
At the bottom of the hour, Mike Tenura will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Ed Kieser says tonight in Illinois, skies will be mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers in Indiana, cloudy, some showers and thunderstorms. Lows will range from 52 in northwestern Illinois to 64 in southeastern Indiana. Tomorrow in western Illinois, partly to mostly sunny, elsewhere mostly cloudy. Some scattered showers. Highs will range from 68 in some northern and central Indiana locations to 75 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow, the extended forecast, dry weather expected through Saturday. Showers and thunderstorms will likely enter western Illinois on Sunday and pass across the rest of Illinois and Indiana Sunday night into Monday morning.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, the Internal Revenue Service says livestock producers affected by drought conditions this summer have been given a one-year extension to avoid capital gains taxes on forced livestock sales. The IRS announcement came in response to lobbying efforts by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. G20 ministers say they'll meet at the end of October or the beginning of November to continue seeking resuscitation of the Doha Round. But after holding meetings over the weekend, the G20 issued a statement indicating developing nations were unlikely to back down on their demands that rich countries do away with subsidies and tariff barriers for agricultural products. The Philippines say they'll require testing of U.S. rice that it plans on buying over the next month to keep out genetically modified strains. Philippine officials say U.S. suppliers will have to foot the bill on testing. Meanwhile, Monday, the European Commission reported that 33 out of 162 samples of rice imported to Europe contain illegal GMO strains. USDA Ag Secretary Mike Johanns yesterday suggested any new agricultural emergency assistance passed by Congress should focus on producers who suffer rather than broad payments that now are under consideration in Congress. Johanns says too often aid does not go to those who need it most, but rather to all producers of a specific crop in an emergency area, giving dollars to many who don't need them. And the International Trade Subcommittee of the Senate Finance Committee met Monday to review the North America Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, at year 12. Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley says ag exports to Canada reached $10.6 billion in 2005, two times the $5.3 billion worth of exports in 1993. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, USDA, as you already know, released the September crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimate reports this morning. It pegged the nation's bean crop at 3.1 billion bushels on an average nationwide yield of 41.8 bushels to the acre. Now, that's bigger than last month's projection, and many analysts, including University of Illinois Extension Ag economist Daryl Good, say the soybean number will go up in October, but it wasn't the numbers from the bean side of the equation that USDA released this morning that Daryl Good says was the September surprise.
Well, I think the big surprise probably was on the projection of U.S. average corn yield at 154.7 bushels per acre. That's 2.5 bushels above the August forecast. That larger number was moderated a bit by the fact that USDA lowered their estimate of harvested acreage, 250,000 acres, all coming in South Dakota. So as it turns out, the production estimate or production forecast, 11.1 billion bushels, was pretty close to the average guess before the report, slightly higher, but certainly it was because of the smaller acreage. The market did not anticipate such a big jump in the average yield. In soybeans, the average yield estimate 41.8, that's larger than the 39.6 that we saw in August, about what the market expected, giving us a very big crop, very close to the size of last year's crop, and USDA suggesting even with a sharp increase in use, over 200 million bushels more soybeans expected to be used this coming year, still going to see a jump in year-ending stock. So for soybeans, this number confirms that we have at least another year of surplus inventory, assuming normal production in South America. For corn, the bottom line is a big crop. We're going to use it and pull our inventories down to a pretty small level. So I think when it's all said and done, we're not going to see a big price reaction to this report, close enough to expectations. The market will now focus on two things. Where will the October number come in? There is a pretty strong tendency on corn. If we see a bigger number in September, we tend to see it get bigger again in October. a similar pattern on soybeans, but not as strong. But I think the difference between the two crops this year is that our crop condition ratings on soybeans are high enough that the market is expecting that the yield estimate will go up again in October. So we need to see October numbers kind of confirm that we have these kind of crops. And then the market is going to turn, I think, very quickly to seeing how fast we use the crop, with the most focus on corn. We believe that everything is pointing to record consumption, a drawdown in stocks, a need for more acres next year, and seasonally prices moving probably significantly higher from harvest into next spring, summer. Soybeans, probably the best chance for a price recovery is with some problems with South America. As long as they have a normal growing season, we're not going to see the surplus go away. But a year from now, the market might start talking about we need high enough prices to encourage more bean acres in South America. And I think longer term, that's where the price strength is going to come in soybeans.
So to recap the corn side of those numbers, USDA has jumped the average yield to 155 bushels to the acre nationwide. It also dropped 250,000 corn acres out of South Dakota's crop size, and that put the total harvest near 11.1 billion bushels, just about like last year. Darrell Good says it means U.S. farmers will have an opportunity to LDP corn earlier rather than later, soybeans later rather than earlier, and that they should try to store both crops if they can.
I think for both crops, probably storing as much as possible is probably going to be the right thing to do. This track record is very strong. When you see a big crop, harvest lows, and then significantly higher prices subsequently in the marketing year, the thing we want to keep an eye on is the futures market already reflects the potential for a very sharp increase in price of both commodities. So while we say store and wait for higher prices, there may be an opportunity to get that crop forward priced even while it's stored if those deferred futures prices continue to work higher.
You can read more from U of I Extension's Darrell Good on the FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. USDA, of course, will release its next projection of the U.S. corn and soybean crops October the 12th. Well, Austin, all this conversation about this morning's USDA reports might be yesterday's crop progress report that showed the excellent and good categories for the corn just about the same. 42% for good, 17% of the corn crop said to be in excellent condition. And together, that's the same as last week, but it is a 1 percentage point increase in the excellent category. So there was a movement from the good category of 1% of the crop up to the excellent category. That might not mean so much, but in the beans, we had a similar situation where we went from fair to good and increased that by 1 percentage point. So the overall good to excellent category is up 1 percentage point for the beans across the nation.
This is Brad Schwab with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending September 10th. Weather conditions last week were less than ideal for the corn crop, as cooler temperatures and widespread precipitation have delayed dry down. There were also reports by a few producers in the east-central portion of the state fearing that ear and stalk rot may become a problem due to these recent wet conditions. Soybeans, on the other hand, will likely benefit from this scenario as many fields continue to fill their pods. Corn and soybean development continued to linger slightly behind the five-year averages. However, producers are optimistic that harvest in most areas, if not already active, will be in full swing within a week or two. Taking a detailed look at the crop progress numbers from last week, corn in the mature stage advanced to 39%, trailing last year's 50% and the five-year average of 41%. Corn harvest was just getting underway at 2%, which compares to 5% 1 year ago, and the five-year average of 3%. Overall, average corn condition was rated as mostly good. Now shifting to soybeans, 47% of the crop was turning yellow compared to 75% 1 year ago and 58% for the five-year average. 12% of the soybean crop was shedding leaves compared to 36% 1 year ago and 25% for the five-year average. And while we are still at less than 1% complete, there were a number of soybean fields harvested by week's end. The average soybean condition was rated as 75% good or excellent, with a balance of 25% in the fair, poor, and very poor categories. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Wilson with the Indiana Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending September 10th. Corn harvest has officially begun in Indiana, mostly in southwestern areas of the state. Seed corn and silage also continue to be harvested. Many soybean fields around the state have begun to turn color, and some have started to shed their leaves. There have also been some reports of blue mold in tobacco. Corn condition is rated 73% good to excellent, compared with 42% last year at this time. 86% of the corn acreage has reached the dense stage, compared with 81% for the five-year average. 24% of the corn acreage is now mature, compared with 32% for the average. 1% of the corn acreage is now harvested, compared with 2% for the five-year average. Soybean condition is rated 74% good to excellent, compared with 52% last year. 16% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves, compared with 36% for the five-year average. Third cutting of alfalfa hay is rated 96% complete, compared with 90% for the average. Pasture condition is rated 60% good to excellent. Pastures have remained green in most areas of the state because of the frequent rain showers throughout the summer, and livestock remains in mostly good condition. This has been Steve Wilson with the Indiana Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Eric Wilson, statistician from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report of week ending September 10th, 2006. Fair weather through most of the week was great for maturing corn and soybean crops. Corn for grain harvest started and seed corn and silage harvest continued until heavy rain at week's end stopped field work. Light corn lodging was reported throughout Iowa, while isolated wind and hailstorms caused moderate to severe damage, primarily in the northwest quarter. Some farmers begin their fourth cutting of alfalfa during the week. There were 4.9 days suitable for field work last week, compared to 5.7 days last year, and the five-year average of 5.9 days suitable. Topsoil moisture rated 14% very short or short, and 86% adequate or surplus. Subsoil moisture rated 32% very short or short, and 68% adequate or surplus in Iowa. Virtually all the corn was in or past the dough stage ahead of the five-year average. Corn in or past dent stage was 8 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn mature was 29%, equivalent to both the previous year and the five-year average. Corn condition was reported as 65% good or excellent, remaining unchanged from the previous week. As for soybeans, 72% are turning color, 3 percentage points behind last year. Soybeans dropping leaves reached 29% for Iowa, 4 percentage points behind last year, but 6 percentage points ahead of normal. Soybean condition was reported as 74% good or excellent. The third alfalfa harvest was reported 94% complete, same as last year, but 6 days ahead of the five-year average. Hay condition was rated 59% good or excellent. Pasture and range conditions continue to improve. As of Sunday, they were 58% good or excellent. This has been Eric Wilson, statistician from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the Weekly Crops and Weather Report.
This is Steve Pond reporting Nebraska's Weekly Crop Weather Report for the week ending September 10, 2006. Cooler temperatures and rain across the state combined to improve cool season pastures and in conditions for germination of fall-sown wheat. Irrigated cornfields rated 75% good or excellent, while dryland cornfields rated 24, both below year-ago levels. 92% of the corn had reached the dent stage and 27% was mature. Soybean conditions rated 57% good or excellent. 63% was turning color and 9% was dropping leaves. Sorghum conditions rated 52% good or excellent. 84% of sorghum planted was turning color and 12% was mature. Winter wheat was 18% seeded. Third cutting alfalfa was nearly complete and fourth cutting was 44% complete. Alfalfa conditions rated 34% good or excellent. Pasture and range conditions rated 60% very poor or poor. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NASA Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. Your regional newscast is next, and then we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A third-party candidate for an open Illinois State Senate seat wants a court to decide by the end of today to put him on the November ballot. Joe Parnarauskas filed a lawsuit today in Springfield asking a judge to force the State Board of Elections to rule on Parnarauskas' position in in the 52nd District Senate race. He also filed for orders to keep the Champaign and Vermilion County clerks from finalizing ballots for absentee distribution until the matter's cleared. State Democrats are challenging the Socialist Equality Party candidates' ballot petitions. Last week, the State Board of Elections deadlocked several times along party lines on whether to include him on the ballot. A defense attorney for Amanda Hamm says he is withdrawing his pretrial challenge to some of the statements she made after her three children drowned in Clinton Lake in 2003. Attorney Steve Skelton says instead he'll challenge those statements during Hamm's murder trial, which is scheduled to start October 23rd. A quarterly poll of area employers predicts a healthy hiring picture for the last 3 months of the year in Champaign-Urbana. Manpower Incorporated, the temporary employment firm, conducts the poll. It says 40% of businesses in the area they asked expect to add workers between October and December. 7% expect cutbacks. The rest see no change. Manpower says that's better than the current quarter and better than the same quarter last year. A coalition of student and community groups wants the University of Illinois to break its contract with Coca-Cola next year, alleging human rights violations and environmental concerns against Coke manufacturers in India and Colombia. About 50 people chanted on the U of I quad over the noon hour, demanding that administrators drop the exclusive contract with Coke when it's up for renewal. In a written statement, the Coca-Cola company says it's confident in the safety of its soft drinks and that test labs have revealed no problems. The Illinois High School Association Board has denied a bid for a statewide vote on expanding its current two-class system for basketball and several other sports beginning next year. Executive Director Marty Hickman says the IHSA rejected the call for a referendum because member schools already backed the expansion plan in a statewide survey last fall. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Today's programming is made possible in part by Ratio Architects, dedicated to defining spaces and creating downtown places across the Midwest, on the web at ratioarchitects.com.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We're joined now not by Don Day, who normally Phil is here on a Tuesday afternoon, but meteorologist and commodity analyst Mike Tenora of tstorm.net. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Todd. How are you?
Well, most of our listeners are probably familiar with you as well. I think I heard you on the air here at WILL yesterday. Is that right?
Yeah, I sure was. You know, I help out over there with Ed Keyser and Mike Sola from time to time. So, yeah, so sometimes they'll hear me on both sides of the weather, I guess.
Of the microphone. And you have your own business, tstorm.net. Those who want to go see that can find it at www.tstorm.net. And you take a look at the agricultural weather forecast around the globe. So what have you been watching this week?
Well, this week we're watching a couple of different things. Probably the biggest issue of concern here in the central U.S. is all the rain that we've been having across the eastern Corn Belt. We're slightly concerned that all this rain that we're having is going to keep the crop maturation rates fairly low. So that's one of the issues. And beyond that, we do think that much warmer weather is in store for most of the Corn Belt here starting up later in the week. So there will be some advances, and that should help to improve things a bit. Todd, one other feature that we're keeping an eye on is the possibility for some frost across the northern plains of the Dakotas into Minnesota. That'll take place sometime early next week if it occurs. So we are watching that. We do have several indications that much colder air is going to develop in that area. Now, that wouldn't be too much of a problem for corn, given that much of it is mature, but some of the soybeans are still dropping leaves, especially across portions of Minnesota into South Dakota. So it could be a slight problem there. We're not overly concerned about that at this point, though.
How about if you take a look at South America and then maybe Australia for me, too?
Sure, yeah. Down in South America, not a whole lot is happening, which is kind of bad news for the Argentine wheat producers. We haven't had a whole lot of rain all winter season, at least in their winter. And what we're expecting is that there's really not very many chances of rain for Argentine wheat through this weekend and probably through most of next week. The big problem there is that they have a pretty large area of high pressure to the west of Argentina out in the Pacific Ocean. And what that's doing is it's pretty much blocking all weather systems from crossing the central part of their country, which is where all of the wheat is growing. It's also having some problems with planting from some of our contacts there. They say that the ground is so dry in portions of the country, especially north, where corn would start being planted pretty soon, that they actually aren't even doing anything about it because the soil is so dry. In Australia, we're watching the wheat there, too. In the western part of Australia, where quite a bit of production takes place, it's getting a little better. They've had quite a bit of rain over the past 4 to 5 weeks. They still need more, given previous dryness. In the east, still more rain is needed. We've had a few shots of rain here and there, but we need a big drenching that we haven't seen yet.
Mike, we appreciate you being with us today.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it, too.
Mike Tenura of tstorm.net. You can find his information at www.tstorm.net. Mike, not only, by the way, a meteorologist, but he has come through the Ag Econ Department here on the University of Illinois Extension, or University of Illinois campus. I'm Todd Gleason with University of Illinois Extension. That's today's Closing Mark Report. Thanks for being with us for the afternoon.
Today's programming is made possible in part by Ratio Architects, dedicated to defining spaces and creating downtown places across the Midwest. On the web at ratioarchitects.com.